Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brant. Rose and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show, the first Monday in August. It is August the 4th already, 2014. Hope you and yours had a lovely weekend as we get ready to get rolling down the track on this Monday afternoon. We'll, of course, get things going on the Monday political face-off. Today, we're going to be talking about the so-called dark money. Our monthly visit with General John Wickham will come up at 12:30. As always, lots to talk about with the former U.S. Army Chief of Staff and the Buckmaster Show contributor on the military and foreign affairs. Our live line number is 790-2040, and our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. Well, every Monday on the Buckmaster Show, we kick things off with the Monday Political Face-Off featuring one of two teams of commentators. This week, it's Paul Eckerstrom, longtime Democrat Party activist, former state and local Democrat Party chair. John Munger is with us. John is a Tucson attorney, former member of the Arizona Board of Regents, 2010 Republican candidate for governor, and John has been involved with Republican politics on all sorts of levels, state and local levels, for many, many years. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Paul and John, how are you gentlemen today?
Good. How are you?
Very good. Did you have a nice weekend?
A lovely weekend. Got some rain.
Anytime we can get a nice, gentle rain.
Yeah. I like the thunder boomers.
Yeah, we haven't had so many of those.
Oh, we had them where I live.
You did have some over the weekend. Well, that is good news. We're talking about dark money today. Dark money is the new term for the dollars spent by groups that do not have to identify their contributors, unlike traditional political committees. The new independent campaigns are often run by nonprofit organizations whose donors are forever kept secret, a campaign innovation that accelerated since the Supreme Court decision. It was Citizens United decision that opened the door to anonymous contributions. Paul and John, I want to call your attention to an article that our friend Jim Nintzel had in the Tucson Weekly saying that Democratic gubernatorial candidate Fred Duvall is proposing what he calls a dark money pledge, asking his opponents to abide by this pledge. And in effect, Mr. Duvall says, if they run the independent campaigns, run support ads for me, I will call on them to stop. If they run them anyway, I'll give the money to charity, the same amount of money used to support me or attack my opponent. John Munger, are you for this dark money stuff?
Well, I'm for the Citizens United case, which allows anybody to contribute to campaigns, but I'm adamantly against dark money. I want anybody to be able to contribute whatever amount they want as long as the public knows who's contributing. And the problem with this dark money thing is not that various groups are contributing, but we don't know who they are or who their donors are. And there are some very serious problems going on in the races in this state. I know particularly the Secretary of State's race, the Corporation Commission mm-hmm. race. There's dark money. Rumor
big
says
time,
it's big APS.
Time.
Big time. We're talking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars.
$560,000 has been involved from a group called the Arizona Free Enterprise Club, and that has been spent in the race for Secretary of State.
And there's another purportedly, and I don't have these numbers, but I've heard that there's something like $700,000 coming from another group called Save Our Future Now, which purportedly, I can't prove this, is funded by APS.
Arizona Public Service.
Yeah, and that's just wrong. I mean, people ought to know who's contributing, and they ought to make a judgment whether or not that's a political issue or not. But this dark money is bad.
What do you think, Paul Eckerstrom?
Well, you know, John and I are in total agreement on this one. The thing about Citizens United is it allowed corporations to give money in political campaigns. through independent committees and things like that. But the idea is that people would know who was making those contributions, what companies, what people. And, you know, if somebody doesn't like what a company is doing in terms of making a contribution in a political setting, like APS in a corporation commission, is a very important thing to know because
that's right.
They're the very people, the electric companies, they're being regulated by corporation commissioners. And if they're coming in and supporting a particular candidate, you may not want to support that candidate because you want the other you want that position to regulate APS, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if you don't know where the money's coming from, if APS is actually dumping money in but is in dark mode under these nonprofit entities, that then you don't know.
It would be the equivalent of a party to a lawsuit contributing $500,000 or $800,000 to the judge's campaign that was trying the case. I mean, that's absurd. And Paul is absolutely right. Having Arizona Public Service involved in this is just wrong. And they're supporting a couple of candidates on the there are four candidates running on the Republican side. APS is purportedly supporting two of those with this dark money. One is a guy named Fariz and another guy named Little, just to let names out. Those guys are being supported by APS. And I have to tell you, I just think it's wrong. Now, I want to make it clear, Bill, that Citizens United didn't have anything to do with this dark money. Citizens United just says anybody can give, whether it's a corporation or a party. It didn't say dark money was okay.
Well, how'd the dark money get involved?
That's an Arizona statute. As I understand it, okay. Paul could correct me, but we can correct that problem, and we need to get busy and correct that.
Well, it's a national issue too, because dark money can be done through a nonprofit, and the only regulation it's basically nonprofit C4s under the IRS, and you know IRS is being pushed back on in terms of regulating any of this stuff because of what happened in the last couple of years. In terms of looking into these organizations, the problem is there really isn't any regulatory language at the with the IRS and the nonprofit organizations or at the state level that really can control this. The reason it kind of dovetails with Citizens United was Citizens United basically said corporations can contribute money or people can contribute money as much as they want under the First Amendment into a political setting like an independent committee. But that money is reported in an independent committee situation. You have to tell them. The only restriction on people then giving too heavily one side or the other is, for example, a business, a corporation may not want to get involved in the political setting and take sides because, you know, the consumers out there maybe don't agree with them and it would hurt their business. Mm-hmm. That's the only restriction that they would have if they're known. The reason this is bad is because they're not known. And especially in a setting, as John pointed out, where you're contributing into a situation of a regulatory commission like the Corporation Commission, and the company that would be regulated by that Corporation Commission is contributing money through dark money. Nobody knows that. Then it's a real problem, I think.
Yeah, it is. But I just wanted to make it clear. It's really got nothing to do with the Citizens United case. It's got to do with the fact that this is an unregulated thing.
It's unique to Arizona, the dark
money? No, it is national, but there's no regulations nationally or locally saying that you have to disclose who your donors are to this group. And that, you know me, Bill, I'm not much for regulations, but there needs to be a regulation on this. There needs to be a law that's or a regulation that says, fine, you can contribute whatever you want, but everybody gets to know who your donors are.
And you know, they get around this because these nonprofits that are developed to do this specifically. And it used to be that there was nonprofits, we were social welfare nonprofits that would go out there and try to educate people on their issue, right? And that's what the clause that they get around this with is these nonprofits are now being organized to just do political education on particular issues. They don't specifically advocate for a candidate or not, but it's pretty strongly implied which candidate you should vote for. And that's the little catch thing that they get around on the legal aspect of it, and it's just not good for our democracy.
Well, I don't even have, you know, that whether they're a 501c4 or whatever they are, which is not a tax deductible organization, so people don't get tax deductions for their contributions, but there's just simply got to be, when you give money to a campaign or give money to an organization that gives to a campaign, the public has a right to know who you are, or we don't have public knowledge. And the whole concept of democracy is based upon an educated populace. And if you don't have an educated populace on something as basic as who's supporting various candidates, then we've got a problem.
And, you know,
and it breeds corruption.
That's right. And one of the other things that people should understand, the explosion of money in this area is happening as we speak. In the last couple of years, it's gone from like $5 million nationally being spent this way to well over $300 million, and it's just growing. And that's a real problem, I think, in terms of our democracy, because my guess is that a lot of money that's been spent in independent committees in the past where you have to disclose is going to be shifted over into these groups. And until we do regulate it, and all it really needs to take is you just have to disclose your donors.
That's all we want.
Yeah.
And all it takes is a simple regulation. Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break right here. 790-2040, 790-2040. If you'd like to weigh in on dark money, yes or no, give us a call. Otherwise, we will move on to another topic after the break. Be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
Here in Tucson, we love our beautiful mountain views, but large windows and sliding glass doors are huge energy zappers.
At American Openings, we build our doors just like our energy-saving windows to keep the heat where it belongs, on the outside. No matter the style, American Openings will create your doors right here in Tucson at a fraction of our competitors' costs. And although the price is less, our quality is excellent. Call today and enjoy our beautiful views year-round without losing your cool.
Call 664-1202 or visit AmericanOpenings.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's vscot.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Jerry, What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 8/31/14. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Twelve 20 now on the Buckmaster Show on this Monday afternoon. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Paul Eckerstrom is here and John Munger. We are having some issues with our phones, so hopefully we'll be able to get that resolved. But in the meantime, we will pick up a little bit more on the dark money issue. Mm-hmm. Paul, it is a big issue in a primary especially.
It can be, and it's a little different dynamic in a primary. There's a lot of people, let's say in the Democratic or the Republican side, where they normally would get involved in supporting somebody or not, but because there's friends on both sides, maybe they stay out of the race, don't get involved. But if there's dark money where you can give money and funnel it and the other side won't know that you're contributing, then all of a sudden you're contributing to one side when you wouldn't normally do that. I mean, it's problematic for a variety of reasons, but mostly what John was indicating for corruption reasons in terms of we don't know who's really pulling the strings on particular candidates. The other thing I do disagree with John on Citizens. Yeah, I think that was a bad decision because it's just creating more of a flood of money into the whole system. We've gone from, up to well over $1 billion from $500 million in 2 years ago in terms of independent committee spending and dark money spending altogether. And I think that's not good for our democracy either. I don't think the super wealthy should be dictating who gets elected. But given that, at least let's have disclosure about who's actually doing this and so that people can make at least an educated decision about what candidates they're going to support based on who's supporting them.
Yeah, well, let me just add, I disagree with Paul. We've agreed on pretty much everything.
Yeah, everything.
His concept is unions have contributed to campaigns for decades. The Democratic concept is, well, unions should be able to contribute, but not the business people, not the corporations. And so my attitude is, well, once the Democratic Party says to the unions, you can't contribute to our campaigns, then we might talk about the corporations not contributing to conservative campaigns. The fact of the matter is the Supreme Court didn't decide it that way. They said, look, it's a First Amendment right. Everybody has a right to talk. And so that's what's happening. And I frankly agree with that. It's like newspapers, Bill. You may not agree with what a newspaper says, but the answer isn't fewer newspapers. The answer is more newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
It is more debate, not less. It's not censorship. Let everybody talk. Just disclose it. And that's where Paul and I agree.
Yep.
Just disclose it.
I do disagree, though, that certain powerful entities and or people with lots of money should have a bigger microphone in our in terms of having so much more money and being able to get their message out versus just a regular
Joe
out there.
So you disagree with unions being able to contribute?
You know, I wouldn't have a problem with creating a situation where we're not allowing that as well.
Okay.
I don't like the fact that campaigns have gotten so expensive, and I think that's bad for our democracy generally.
Yeah, I will tell you where I'm at on this deal. One of the problems with limiting other people's campaign contributions is that if the less outsiders can contribute to campaigns, the more power you're giving to rich people to be the only people to run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I've run in a campaign mm-hmm. where you the maximum contribution I could get from anybody is $830. Well, you can't run a campaign on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you that and I was running against guys that were dumping $7 million of their own money in the campaign.
Right, that's true.
That's not a fair playing field.
No.
So the answer, again, is not to leave the field to the rich people who are the only ones that can raise money. It's let the guy, as it is today, wasn't when I ran, let everybody contribute whatever they want to a campaign and give the guy who isn't rich an opportunity to take on the rich guy. And that's the problem. People don't get the concept that we have left the playing field to campaigns to only the wealthy. That's why the United States Senate is packed with so many really wealthy
millionaires.
People.
Well, and I don't disagree with John on this, and this is maybe we'll probably disagree on this. I think, and I know there's case law from way back in the 70s, Buckley versus Vallejo, that says, you know, the First Amendment doesn't allow regulation on how much can be spent by a particular campaign in a particular race. But I think the way you get around some of John's problems is you actually have that. And it would take a new constitutional amendment, U.S. constitutional amendment, to do it. That may be very, very difficult. But I think campaign limits on certain on races actually makes a lot of sense, and it levels the playing field for people who aren't rich.
Well, here's the problem with that. It's, again, take the newspaper. Are we going to limit the size of newspapers? Are we going to limit how much print they can put in? I'd rather have more information. I don't want to have limits on campaigns. I just want everybody, the more conversation we have, the more discussion, the more debate, the more input, the happier I am. And if you limit campaign costs, you're limiting how much information the public gets. And I think that's a bad thing. I would rather have the public get as much information as they could possibly, and it may be more than they want, but they can't complain about how they don't know mm-hmm. what's going on, because they should.
And you know, this is a very difficult issue to solve, I think, because I don't think there's an easy solution to how much money is involved and you know, John's makes a point. It is true that if there's more money involved, there's more information flowing out. I don't necessarily think it's good information mm-hmm. Necessarily from the different campaigns, because they're obviously biased and have a certain view of it. But, you know, I don't disagree with John. More information can be better for our democracy as well. So I think there's a balance somewhere in there. But I do think campaign limits in terms of overall costs of what, let's say, a congressman runs for, he shouldn't be able to spend over a certain amount, and no other independent committees could spend over a certain amount in terms of aggregate, I think would be a good thing. But, you know, we can agree to disagree on some of these
sure.
things. But generally, the philosophy here is if money's going into a political campaign, for God's sakes, we should know where it's coming
from.
That's
the bottom line answer. It's got to be transparent.
And, John, you said you were limited to, what, $700?
$830.
Is that still in effect for this?
No. It's now.
Okay. So
they've raised it since
If you campaign, were running right now, what would be the limit?
I could raise $4,000.
From any particular person?
From any particular person.
Would that have helped your situation?
Well, yeah. I had a lot of people that wanted to give me a lot more than $830, I can tell you.
Yeah.
Now, you put it in this concept, Bill, that the people that were running on state money, the clean elections mm-hmm. money, were getting $800,000 right off the top.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to raise 1,000 contributors to match that. They were getting a check from the state for that. Mm. Well, I refused to run on state money. I'm not a welfare case. And I just think that the whole clean elections concept is wrong. I think people do vote with their pocketbooks, but they ought not be limited to what you can raise as long as it's transparent.
I think I'm a believer in the clean elections, and basically that's a self-imposed by a candidate limit on how much they're going to spend by taking state money after qualifying by getting a certain amount of $5 contributions from individuals. I think it's a good thing. I think I disagree with a lot, especially state legislative candidates who are running running outside the clean elections, because frankly, it's hard, just like John said, to raise that amount of money for a down ballot race without. And I think therefore, people who aren't wealthy can run for state legislature. Yeah. Under clean elections, and I think that's a good thing.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. John Munger, Paul Akerstrom of the Monday Political Face-Off. Have a great week. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, all right, the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Check out Moe for all of your framing needs, custom frame mirrors, art for the walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems also. Moe is on Facebook. Thank you, Moe. Back after this.
With SRN News, I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. Former White House press secretary and gun control advocate James Brady has died. He was severely wounded in the assassination attempt on President Reagan in 1981. Brady was 73. The death toll from Ebola in West Africa has now reached 887. That's an increase of more than 150 in the last few days. The news comes as Nigeria announces it has confirmed a second case. Alabama's Attorney General plans to appeal a judge's ruling that found a state abortion law unconstitutional. The law requires doctors at abortion clinics to have hospital admitting privileges. It's safe to drink the water again in Toledo, Ohio. That announcement today from Toledo's mayor, 2 days after he warned some 400,000 people in the area not to drink their tap water. More details at srnnews.com.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
There's only one Los Changuitos Feos, and there's only one 50th anniversary concert, Saturday, August 23rd at the TCC Music Hall. Don't miss this celebration of Tucson's own internationally renowned youth mariachi. Mariachi Cobre comes back from Disney World to its Tucson roots for this extraordinary event. Los Changuitos Feos 50th anniversary concert, Saturday, 7 p.m., August 23rd at the TCC Music Hall. Tickets available at the TCC box office or online through Ticketmaster.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:35 on this Monday afternoon on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. I'm Bill Buckmaster, and it's always my honor to bring on the Buckmaster Show our contributor on military and foreign affairs, General John Wickham, who was United States Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987, and he was Commander-in-Chief of South Korean and U.S. Combined Forces from 1979 to 1982. General Wickham served a total of 41 years in the United States Army. He is now retired in Oro Valley and joins us on the Buckmaster Show live line. General, how are you?
Doing fine, Bill. Good to be on your wonderful program again.
Thank you very much, General. A story that caught my eye, and I brought this to your attention. I'm sure you knew about it as well, but it's something I wanted to speak with you about, and I sent you an email about it, that the Army is going to be forcing out 550 majors. Some of them are on combat duty in Afghanistan. And on the face of it, General Wickham, to me, it seems like a lot of ranking personnel, 550. But how, put it into perspective for us.
It sounds mean-spirited, and it sounds like a large number, but relatively small considering the number of majors in the Army. I've been through these downsizings in the past, and when the Congress cuts the funds for the Defense Department, something has to be cut. Half of the defense dollar for the Army and all the services is in personnel, and so you have to reduce some of your personnel if you're going to have a balanced program. And so there are boards that are set up that review the records of officers and decide who those should be kept on and who should be let go. And those that be let go may be ones that have a smear on their record, disciplinary action, a lack of good performance, that sort of a thing. So it's not uncommon, and it's unfortunate that some of these folks are in Afghanistan, but you can't very well say, well, because you happen to be deployed, we're going to keep you on the roll, and we're going to take somebody else off who may be more meritorious than you, and keep that person let him go. I just don't think that's fair.
Now, when you were chief of the Army, tell me what your size was. What kind of a force did you have? I believe we're at about 514 soldiers, 514,000 soldiers in the Army right now. What was it like when you were the Army chief?
When I was head of the Army, Bill, it was about 900,000.
Wow.
Active duty, and then you add the National Guard and Army Reserves, it's well over a million. So, and we did something very similar. It's not exactly the same thing, but I think it's encouraging for the American people to realize that we can do smart things to get rid of bad leaders. Back in the 1980s, the Congress passed a law, which is still on the books, called Selective Early Retirement Boards, and authorize the military services to have boards that would select out colonels and brigadier generals and major generals who are deemed to be lack of quality or toxic in leadership. And I approved the formation of those boards every year during my tenure, and approved the results, letting go scores of colonels and brigadiers and major generals who really were poor in terms of performance and toxic in perhaps in their leadership. And the benefit of all of that is we probably got better leaders in senior positions now than if I had left them in. So I don't know whether the other services did as I did, or I don't think that every successor as Army Chief did that. It was not popular, but we need something like that in a way, you might say, in the corporate world to get rid of bad leaders. Mm-hmm. Now, some of the revisions that have just been approved for the Veterans Administration have now allowed the head of the VA to fire senior executives that are not performing well. The difficulty has been with civil service regulations. It takes years to get rid of a bad performance person, including the VA. So we really need to take credit for doing smart things about cleaning house.
General John Wickham is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. I think we've fixed our issues with the phone, so we can hopefully take calls 790-2040, 790-2040 for General John Wickham. General, you mentioned the situation with the VA. There's going to be billions of dollars approved by Congress that will be heading the way to the Veterans Administration. Is this a drop in the bucket, or do you like what you are hearing so far?
I like what I'm hearing. I think that both houses of Congress stepped up to the plate and approved some major changes, and I just mentioned a couple of them. Another major change is something, incidentally, that the former director, Rich Nsekhe, was trying to get approved, was to allow veterans who live outside the 40-mile radius of the nearest VA facility, or those that have waited too long to get an appointment, to be able to go to a private doctor anywhere, Medicare kind of a doctor sort of arrangement. And that's a lot of money has gone into that. To Eric Shinseki's credit, he also created almost 1,000 more regional VA centers. We have some in Tucson here to enable the veterans to get medical care because they can't get to the major facility. So I'm very encouraged by what I see. The new head of the VA, head of Procter & Gamble, a lot of business experience, West Point graduate, served in the Airborne Army before he went out and went into business world, has just been approved. He's going to bring a lot of credibility to running a VA.
So you say there's this, for the first time, the private health system is getting involved with VA.
And that's exactly right, Bill.
Mm-hmm. That's something that you feel, I believe, has been long overdue then, General Wickham.
That's right, yes. I think we've got to take care. Most veterans live beyond the 40-mile limit,
mm-hmm.
and we shouldn't penalize them. We need to reach out. Another thing that Eric Shinseki was trying to obtain, and I think we're on the way to that, is mobile units that can go and help a veteran. Buses, that kind of a thing. Obviously, that's pretty expensive, but I think we're going to see some of that.
This new poll that reveals, General Wickham, that half of the post-9/11 veterans report severe mental health problems. This is really very disconcerting.
It's very shocking. You're exactly right, Bill. The mental health things, you wonder what's caused that. Some of that is caused by repeated explosions. I've experienced those myself, two tours in Vietnam. And those do damage the brain. The nature of military activity, tumbling around, jumping out of vehicles, can damage the brain. But another part of that poll that you're aware of indicates that over half of the veterans, even though they have their mental health problems, do feel that they've been getting reasonably good care from the VA. So the idea, incidentally, which has been bootied about from time to time, that we ought to get rid of the VA and just dump it all back into the private sector does not make sense, because the unique problems of the veteran have needed unique training and experience in the nurses and in the healthcare people in our VA facilities. And I've seen this firsthand as I've gone down to shake hands of veterans in the VA facility in Tucson. Very specialized. They understand the veterans' needs, and the private sector would not. So that's a downside of dumping it all back onto the private sector.
You mentioned the problems, the mental health, severe mental health problems, certainly due in a large part to the nature of hostilities. But what about the trauma of the lengthy family separations and the abuse by painkillers as well as alcohol?
Amen. Amen, Bill. I think we overdid it with the recent war, decade of wars. The Army, unfortunately, had a tour of at least a year, and it got repeated tours. Now, I saw this in Vietnam. Some people like combat. They like being separated from problems at home. They like the extra money. They like the opportunity to get decorations. So they repeatedly re-upped. The Army should have had a policy that precluded people from continually re-upping to go back into a war zone, and also should have shortened the tours. The Marine Corps, to its credit, had a tour of only 5 or 6 months each time. Yes, they had to go back again and again, but there were lengthy times in between. The Army should have pounded the drums and gone to the President and to the Congress and said, we need more troops to minimize these repeated tours. I don't think Army leadership did that strongly enough.
All right, General Wickham, we're going to take our break here with you. We will be back with General John Wickham, 790-2040, our live line number. We'll be back with General Wickham after we hear from the great lineup of people who support this program. We ask that you give them your attention. Thank you.
This is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Whether you shower, clean, or drink it, you will come in contact with water every day. So the question is, how often do you think about what's in your water, and how is your water affecting you and your loved ones? The fact is, there are likely contaminants in your water that will have an effect on the taste and smell of the water, not to mention why water is chlorinated. The good news is that Culligan has a solution. The Culligan AC30 Reverse Osmosis Drinking Water System is the powerful solution for filtering out impurities that affect your water. This state-of-the-art solution reduces chlorine and other contaminants that affect the taste and smell of your water. Of course, some contaminants may not be in your water. Why not take your drinking water to the next level with a Culligan drinking water system for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months service on an annual rental agreement? Call 792-9700 for details. That's 792-9700, or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tanque Verde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Heel! No, no, stop it!
Is your dog out of control, dragging you on walks, chewing furniture, barking, or even biting? With over 40 years' experience, Dog Masters Training can train you to provide the proper leadership your dog is waiting for. From basic obedience to walking on a lead, leash aggression to socialization, Dog Masters Training. Because if you don't take control, your dog will. Visit our website, dogmasterstraining.com, or call 977-5965.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the program presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It makes a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a very lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay, like Gila Hot Springs Ranch, and great places to visit in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Welcome back now to the Buckmaster Show. General John Wickham, former U.S. Army Chief of Staff, with us on the Buckmaster Show Liveline. There's never a shortage of hot spots in the world with the situation with Iraq. We have the situation in Gaza, and of course, the Ukraine. General Wickham, how serious is this issue with the Russian President Putin?
I think it's quite serious, and all of those experts that study things like you've just mentioned feel the same way. When you reflect on what's happening with Putin and the people that are around him that are trying to push the envelope of security in Central Europe, it could lead to another Cold War or various hot wars. So the sanctions that have been imposed, economic sanctions, have not really bitten enough. Maybe the ones that the United States just recently approved will be much more difficult for Putin. But unfortunately, the European nations have been reluctant to impose severe restrictions because, A, their manufactured goods, like Mercedes cars and other items coming out of France, they're one of their biggest markets is Russia. They don't want to cut those exports and jobs. And number two, Europe depends on Russian gas, natural gas, for energy. And so that dependence has led them to be very cautious about punching Mother Russia, lest Russia impose a restriction or a big fee increase on the use of gas. So we really haven't bitten hard enough. Now, what Putin is seeking, the experts tell me that I read about, is sort of restoration of what Russia lost when the Soviet Union collapsed. A little more security with nations around it, a little less pressure from the West. And what Putin and his colleagues are seeing with Ukraine, and Ukraine oriented now more towards the West and European Union, they're seeing an unraveling of nations and entities close to their border. They're seeing NATO becoming more aggressive about pushing NATO forces and NATO influence right up to the Soviet border. That's foolhardy. I think we've got to be very careful about taunting Russia, and by pushing pressures that lead to resurrection of nationalist spirit in Russia. But that's what's motivating Putin to restore some of Russia's greatness.
Well, there was some good news that we didn't probably hear very much about it in our media here about what happened in Indonesia.
Amen. You know, there's a tendency, Bill, as you understand, you've lived in this world so long, tendency that, and I've heard John McCain say this several times publicly and other political leaders, which I think is wrong-headed. We need to kill all the Muslims before they kill us. And I just think with that attitude, we're never going to have a negotiated settlement on some of these issues. We have to talk to them. And unfortunately, even John Kerry, as good a job as he's doing, will not talk to Hamas and the leaders in Hamas, because we don't recognize Hamas and the Sunni jihadist element there. And if we did talk to Hamas, Israel would go ballistic. So we need to talk to these people and need to have some sort of accommodation. I think that part of the difficulty that is being faced in the Middle East is lack of communication and unwillingness to negotiate some sort of settlement.
And I was mentioning Indonesia, which is the largest Muslim nation in the world, fourth most populated. So good news about the democracy. This is the election of a gentleman who will be the president, and this will be a peaceful, hopefully, transition of power.
Oh, it is peaceful. Exactly right, Bill. Indonesia, the fourth largest nation in the world, the largest Muslim nation. And as an illustration, back to my point about the Muslims, that the Muslims are, the majority of them in the world are people, good people, and we people we can work with. There's a minority, the jihadists, maybe less than 5% that are a threat. But what's happened in Indonesia has been the election of Joko Widodo, who is a commoner, a furniture manufacturer person, very successful as head of Jakarta, the major city in Indonesia. And the fact that they have elected in a peaceful election, overwhelmingly, a person like this, I think speaks volumes about the progress that can be made and that we can work with these people.
And we haven't really touched on the really chaotic situation that persists with the Islamic State known as ISIS of Iraq. That situation just deteriorating.
It is exactly right, Bill. The ISIS or ISIL, it's got different names, is the Islamic State of Iraq and of al-Sham, or part of Saudi, part of Syria. That is a jihadist, a Salafist, which is a very conservative element in the Muslim world. And they seek to go back in medieval times. They impose terrible restrictions on women. They cut off your hands if you steal. They abuse people. They do not, it's not modern. It's not where the Islam has gone wrong is something for historians and modern theoreticians to think about. Muhammad was not like that. Muhammad thought well of women. Muhammad thought about equality of people and differing views, but something's gone wrong. And what's happening with ISIS is the breaking up of Iraq into three groups. The Kurdish element, which is almost a state in and of itself now, and the southern part, the Shia part, around Baghdad, and then sort of a Sunni element in the center of Iraq, which ISIS claims would become their caliphate again. And so it's a dangerous part of the situation. I think in all the criticism that we're hearing about the President Obama and John Kerry, I do believe that what they're trying to do makes a lot of sense. And the experts that I listen to and read about say the same thing. It would be crazy for us to be arming and dumping a lot of weapons back into that cauldron of the Middle East, the same way it would be crazy to dump a lot of weapons into Ukraine and other rogue activities that are going on in Eastern Europe. That would be the first thing that would alienate Russia and get us into a hot war, or perhaps a cold war again.
All right. General Wickham, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure having you on the program. We will talk with you again in September, sir.
God bless, Bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much. General John Wickham, former Chief of Staff of the U.S. Army, joins us. It's usually we talk with General Wickham the first Monday of the month. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. We thank you very much for listening, and we also thank Culligan Water. Culligan, better water, pure and simple from Culligan. And Culligan, we thank you for supplying these nice chilled bottles of Culligan that I have right in front of me for all of our in-studio guests. Culligan, for all your residential and commercial water news and water needs. We want to remind you that For Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw comes up here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. That'll be this afternoon at 4. Then Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe, 6 to 8 in the morning. Christy Simone is back with his daily double show from 8 to 9. Then producer Rosemary Brandt and me, Bill Buckmaster, will be back with you for the Tuesday edition of The Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. You can also find all of our activities on buckmastershow.com. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.